Welcome back to the Roger Sarn Podcast, where we talk all things Army, and I'm your host, Sarn Cruz. And today, we're talking about what to expect at BLC. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get started.
Roger Sarn!
All right, guys. So from my video that I did in reference to PRT, I've gotten a couple of requests in reference to like DNC, which I'll be doing a video and a podcast on that later on, but also like a walkthrough of BLC, like what is BLC, right? And I'm going to take the time, and I'm going to preface it by this. This is not an absolute. This is an overall generalization of BLC. Because I was a BLC instructor from 2017 to 2020, right? And I was at the 7th Army NCO Academy out there in Grafenwöhr, Germany, where I taught for 3 years. And it was fun. If you ever get a chance to actually be an instructor, I would suggest you do so, especially for BLC, because it's well-rounded. It's immaterial, right? So you're talking about all of Army stuff, not just specific to your MOS. So that's the beauty of this one, right? So as you guys will learn throughout your career, is that BLC is going to be your first of 4 NCOSs that you will attend if you're going to go all the way up to the rank of Sergeant Major, right? You got BLC, ALC, SLC, and then MLC. So your first one is going to be BLC, right? And this is where their actual goal is technically, right, to like develop holistic fit leaders and disciplined confidence. And their general goal as well is to build like cohesive teams, because you're going to be at a team leader level once you leave, right? Because you get laterally promoted to corporal, which you come in and you're now into the NCO side of the house, right? So that's the ultimate goal of all BLCs across the Army. It's 22 days. It's MOS immaterial, as I stated previously. It's 4 phases and it's 169 academic hours. And depending on where you go, they're going to have, I don't know, up to 10 cycles a year. And max about, when we were there, our max amount of students that we had per cycle was like, I think 280 at one time, but typically like 242 to 240, depending, right? So the first thing about BLC that you need to understand is like, how do you get into BLC, right? The first thing you got to do, you have to challenge the promotion board, and you have to receive that yes recommendation from your command. So that's going to put you on the OML, the Order of Merit list. And the thing about the OML, it is not controlled by your unit. It is typically controlled by the installation in which you are. And then everyone, all promotables get put on that list. Now, the thing about the list is you have to make sure that your unit will do this, but just this is behind the scenes. They have to mark you as eligible for BLC attendance in ATARs, right? And then once they do all of that stuff, you go check your promotion point worksheet and it turns into an official one, right? So in order to get the best OML number to get slotted, you have to maximize your promotion points, because that's ultimately what it goes by. Time in service, time in grade, promotion points, all that stuff kicks in. But if you're on the top of the list when it comes to your promotion points, you're more than likely going to get a date sooner than later, right? So that's how do you get into BLC. Challenge the board. Your unit is going to mark you as eligible. You do your best on getting all these promotion points. And this is why a lot of your leaders always push you to have to start doing correspondence courses, to do the best you can on your PT, ACFT, and shoot the best, because this is going to be like the preventive maintenance side of the house, so you can start building, so when you get there, you're already ready, right? you stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Those who choose not to, now they get their promotable status, and then they start trying to get all the points, and then they're behind the eight ball, and then they're wondering why their peers are going to BLC before them. But that's just my two cents. Your leaders are pushing you, and it's for your own benefit. Now, the next part is going to be, what are your pre-arrival responsibilities, right? Because when you get your slot, right, you're going to go on the website in which you go to. Let's say I'm on Fort Cavazos. They have their website. And typically when you go there, they're going to have the resource page, and it's going to give you a breakdown of what everything is. And they'll send you – a lot of times they'll just send you the packet. It's going to have your pre-execution checklist. Make sure you're using the correct version. I remember when we when I was an instructor, we used so many of these pre-execution checklists because they just kept updating and updating and updating. And then we'd have students send them back, and it's just a big deal. So going on their website and comparing to the packet that they may send your training room or send you, make sure you compare those and you're using the one that they're actively using. And these are questions that you can ask, that your training NCO can ask the schoolhouse themselves. Hey, is this the correct one? And all that cool stuff. So your pre-execution checklist, your post-reservation checklist, which is your PRCL, have those filled out correctly with all the pertinent information. They're going to want to have your 705 with your ACFT within a specified time. If you need a 5500 or 5501, then obviously include that in there as well. You're going to need your distance learning in there. If you're coming from, like, for instance, when we had guys, we were in Grafenwöhr, and we had students coming from Vicenza, we had students coming from Stuttgart, Wiesbaden, all over, they had to have a 1610, right? Any student that was out of the area, you have a 1610. And another thing that we had to make sure that these students had is computer access, because make sure that their CAC is not going to expire or anything like that, because those are just hiccups that are just going to get you kicked out or pushed to another timeline or something like that. And it just causes issues. So you make sure that all that stuff is good. So make sure that you're what is that cert? I can't even remember the cert that you have to do every year for the that you go on the Signal website. Make sure that that's up to date, right? And then make sure that you know the date, time, and location of day zero. When they do that roll call, you want to be there on time. You don't want to be walking up there or something like that, because I remember we used to we would have day zero, and we have everyone form up, and that NCO from from the installation, they would come down and they call these names, and then we have a whole bunch of walk-ons on the site. And if they said Specialist Cruz, and they said Specialist Cruz going once, twice, third, sold, he's not here, next, that first walk-on, we push him in there, right? So make sure that you know date, time, and location for day zero, and understand, as I already said at the top of the show, it's a 22-day course. Maybe it may vary from, installation, but I'm pretty sure most of these installations are still at 22 days because that's the course. So that's the pre-arrival, right? So what to expect during your time at BLC, right? That's the next subject that we're going to talk about. You're going to do a height and weight, and I'm not going to give, like, the days in which this is all happening. Just know that this happens. You can go on their website, and you can get their lesson plan, and they'll tell you exactly what happens what day. Like, for instance, if you went on the website for the one at Fort Cavazos, it'll tell you that the sharp essay is due on day 5. It'll tell you that the public speaking is due on day 16. You know, it'll tell you exactly when everything is due. So just know that this is coming. And I'm giving you the information, and you just have to go on there and check what the dates are. The point is so you can be ready. You can do all your practicing at your unit. So when you go there, all you're doing is executing. So you're going to do a height and weight. You're going to do your ACFT. And typically when you do your height and weight, if you fail it, they give you a couple, like 7 days or something like that, to get your beat your percentage down, but you don't want to have those problems. I'm telling you, it's just another issue that you're going to have that's not going to allow you to concentrate on the course. Go there ready to go. So if you get your ATARs slot a month in advance and you know you're borderline, you better get on a damn diet. If you know that your ACFT scores are borderline, you better start working harder. And just understand that, because it's just, you don't want to have any distractions. You want to go there and go from module 1, 2, 3, and 4, do your assessments, and get the hell out of there. And another thing that we had issues with all the time was with the layouts. There's a packing list, and it's there. And for some odd reason, NCOs, I don't know, this is what students would say, but you can take it with a grain of salt. Either the student would say that, or if it's not their fault, it would be the NCO's fault. It was somebody's fault, and they would say, well, my NCO told me that I really didn't need that. It's not that big of a deal. Every schoolhouse is different. Every schoolhouse focuses on different things. So while they may let you slide over here at Fort Cavasso, they may not let you slide at Fort Bliss. If they may let you slide in Grafenvoir, they may not let you slide over there in Hawaii. So to avoid that, just bring what's on the damn packing list. It's super easy. So make sure that you have all the stuff that's on the packing list exactly what it is. A lot of times what we had was with the wet weather and the cold weather jacket, that was an issue. But another issue was with the 5-layer sleep system. A lot of times soldiers weren't issued the whole thing. What I would do is I'd get that shit 2062'd from somebody at the unit and make sure you bring it all. Don't leave it for fate or for chance, because we're going to talk about the reason why you don't want to do that in a minute. There's graded on classroom participation. And why do they grade on classroom participation? At BLC, they do the ELM. It's called the Experiential Learning Model. So this is no longer, like when I first started in 2017 and I got there, we were doing the old BLC, which is we had the warrior task in at the last week, in which we went out to the field and we did the field training and stuff like that. And the Army decided that, hey, these are organizational level tasks and we shouldn't be focused on that. We're going to focus on things that are going to get these soldiers right as a junior leader. So they took that out. And I say that to say this. Back then, it was more of I'm telling you exactly what the regulation says, what the book says, what the SOPs say, and how to actually train in the TNOE, right? The training and outline. But now it's experiential learning model. So what they want to do is they'll have a subject. Let's say we're talking about cultural competencies, right? And then there's some questions or subjects that are written into the lesson plan in which causes dialogue. And the point is for everyone to share their experiences, and at the same time, the instructors that were before instructors, they're now facilitators. So we facilitated the conversation inside the classroom. And that's how you get graded, right? Of course, you got some that are going to stand out way more because they're more experienced, they're more outgoing, they don't care about talking, like they know, or they just know how to play the system and they're like, you know what, I'm going to get my points and that's it. Don't be the guy or the girl, the soldier. Don't be the soldier in the corner that doesn't want to say anything because it's going to cost you on your leadership grade, on your participation grade. All right. So just understand it's experiential learning model. You're going to get these read aheads and all that stuff the day before. It's a lot, man. I'm not going to lie. The read aheads are a lot. It's like you'll be going through like 3 subjects the next day and you'll have, I don't know, you'll probably have like 5-6 pages worth of stuff. Choose a subject that you're going to talk about when it's time to talk about it. And then you put your information out. Put your experience out there and then move on. So you're also getting graded on leadership roles. So you're going to have your squad leaders, you're going to have your team leaders, you're going to have your platoon sergeants, you're going to have your first sergeant. When we were there, the first sergeant was in a graded position, but you still had everyone is going to get a chance to do the platoon sergeant, squad leader, and team leader role. Everyone's going to get a chance of that. So you're going to get graded on that. So all the information that's put out, if someone's late and it comes down to you, it's on you. So you're going to get graded for that. Understand that you're going to be marching everywhere you go. We used to make them march in groups of four, I think it was, at least four to five, I think it was. So if you're going to the, if it's off time and you're going to the chow hall or something like that, or you're going to from one place to another, from one side of the campus to another, you got to get in line, march, all four of you guys. It's a battle buddy system in there, so you got to... Two male soldiers, two female soldiers, or if there's one female soldier, it has to be two male soldiers. That's how we did it. So therefore, there's always someone with somebody else, and no one's getting lost out there. Nothing can happen, or at least it prevents a lot. Like I said, there's four modules, and they're divided into phases. Then there's assessments out the wazoo, right? You're gonna have your sharp essay. And when we did it, it wasn't graded, however, but it was a competition. So you didn't have to do it. The whole classroom didn't have to do it. The whole course didn't have to do it, right? The cycle. But those who chose to do it, the commandant would read it and pick the best one. And then that person would win the sharp essay. And then you got the other essays, which are kind of like the informative essay, which is all facts, no opinions, because it's an informative essay. I'm telling you about something. Then you had the compare and contrast essay, which is you take what they have different, what they have the same, and then talk about it. And they'll give you all the parameters of this, just letting you know what's on there. So for essays purposes, what we used to always suggest to the students is to get a Grammarly account. And then you guys kind of like split the calls, have one, what is it called? Use one email. The password for all you guys to have it, or if you want to do it for the whole classroom, everyone puts $2. I don't know. I don't remember how much it was. And the reason why is because it's going to help you with your punctuation. It's going to help you with your active voice, because in BLC, it's when it comes to Army writing, we're writing in the active voice. Guys, when it comes to the essay, when you're doing the essays, I know it's weird, because some of you guys are doing college courses and you guys get to write in the passive. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say, well, in school to get to do this, because you're just hurting yourself. At the end of the day, you're going to get graded by the standard. So use the active voice. Your sentences are going to be a lot shorter. You're going to have a lot more sentences, but just go by what the rubric says. Hit all those markers, and there's no way for you not to get at least a 98 to 100. I'm telling you. You're going to have drill and ceremony, which stay tuned for that. We're going to be doing I'm going to do a video on that, on drill and ceremony and how to walk through it and stuff like that. I did the PRT one with, how to remember all the drills and stuff. So you can go on YouTube and check that out. But yeah, when it comes to drill and ceremony and PRT, make sure you're practicing for the test, right? And if you're practicing with four other soldiers, make sure that you use those same individuals for the testing purposes. So therefore, you guys already have the rhythm and you guys understand. You guys come up with a game plan. So when you say fall in, they're not all falling in like offset of you. And then you're going to want to by yourself. You're going to want to kind of like adjust yourself, and you shouldn't, right? Because they fall in on you, not you on them. And that was a lot of mistakes that the students did. But make sure you practice with the same individuals. Same thing with PRT assessment. Make sure you practice with the same individuals, because those guys can help you if you take your time and you're about to say the bend and reach and you're about to do something else, you watch those, oh, this is what it is. So it's some tips and tricks that can help you out with your assessments. You're going to do the CIT, which is conduct individual training. That's just teaching a class. And when we were there, we let them just use their notes. Use them. You're going to do public speaking. You're going to teach a class. And practice your presentation. It was so many students that they would just read off the slide. And that's just going to not, it's going to dock you a couple points and you're going to be upset and stuff like that. And you're just going to look weird. You're going to look weird. Let's just face it. You're going to be like the same NCO that you always talk crap about that, oh, if you're just reading from the slide and stuff like that. And then you're going to do it. And then you're going to say, well, I really don't care about it. You're going to come up with 1,000 excuses. Don't be that troop that does that. You're there to do your best. So knock it out the park. And the only way to do that is by practicing, right? And then you got your resume writing. You're going to do that. And I would suggest you guys really put work into that because you can keep that resume and keep building on it, right? Because as you're going to go through the Army, you're going to gain more experience and you just keep going by either every duty station or every management position that you do. If you go from team leader to squad leader, then you already have 2 positions under that 1 duty station. And then this is something new. You guys are going to do an ACFT grader certification. We didn't do that when I was there, but we had to go to a certain class in order to get the ACFT certification. But these guys, they're teaching. It's like a 5-hour course or something like that, a 5-hour block of instruction. They're going to teach you how to set up, how to grade. So that's awesome, to be honest with you, because when you come out of BLC and you get laterally promoted to corporal, you want to take on those roles, right? You want to be able to start getting those counselings and those NCOER bullets, how to start like approaching them and stuff like that. So I think this is a good addition to the BLC course. Now, there are some honors available, and those are Distinguished Honor Grad, Commandant's List. We also had the Sharp Essay. And specific to us, when I was in Germany, we had the Iron Warrior. Now, this may be some other places may also do it, but we specifically did it for sure when I was there. So Distinguished Honor Grad is going to go to the top number one soldier. Whatever the highest GPA is for that cycle, that person gets it. Commandant's List is a little different because that goes to the top 20%. And then we also had a new thing after that, which was like next 10%, but I can't remember what it was, so I won't speak on it because I forgot about it. But we also have we had the Sharp Essay, and the Sharp Essay is not mandatory to participate in, but it separates you as well because you also get we used to give out a plaque or something like that for that essay. And then the Iron Warrior, because we were doing PT at the time, not ACFT, so we would do the highest PT scores for each gender, the highest male and the highest female, and they get the Iron Warriors like a trophy. So those are the honors that are available to get. And then there are disqualifiers for those honors. And as I previously stated, missing items and layouts. Now, like I said, none of what I'm saying is absolute. Every BLC may manage everything different, may be a little bit more lenient, may be a little bit more strict. However, if you're missing an item, which is why you do a layout, if you're missing an item, some of them will give you like a few days and then they'll cut you off and then they'll give you a DROG. A DROG is a derogatory counseling. And they will have a grace period. But in order to avoid all of that, just have everything. If you failed any assessment, which is why I was telling you the height and weight, the ACFT, make sure those are under your control. You control everything you eat. You control how much you go to the gym or stay fit, however you do it, push-ups, sit-ups, however you do it. But you fail any assessment, you fail your, what is it called, any of the essays, your PRT, your conduct individual training drill, so anytime you fail anything once, you're already taken out. And discipline, just overall discipline, whether that be being late, being disrespectful, being caught not marching in groups, whatever is deemed to be not disciplined, then you could get a DROG. So anything negative in nature, they're going to potentially counsel you for it, and that automatically takes you out the running. So this is, like I said, every BLC is different. Every grader is different. Every SGL is different. But these are the guidelines in which you need to adhere to in order to be successful if you're trying to get the Commandant's List. So just to recap everything we spoke about, how do you get to BLC? We spoke about the pre-arrival responsibilities that you're going to have. We spoke about what to expect at BLC. And then lastly, the honors that are available. All right. So I'll leave you guys with this. Understand how to make sure you get a slot. Complete all your pre-arrival tasks. And most importantly, well, one of the most important things, understand the expectation that they have of you. You're expected to show up there, and you should want to show out, do the best that you can. And in order to do that, you have to use your time wisely. I didn't talk about it, but you do get time off on the weekends, time off after a certain amount of like maybe 1800 or something like that. We used to allow them time off. And you're getting your civilian clothes and whatnot. But if you are going to be going out every weekend and not like practicing your presentation, your CIT, tightening up those skills on your essays and your PRT and DNC, then you're not going to do as good as you want to do. And the results will show. So use your time wisely. And lastly, have fun. When you go there, you're going to meet a lot of individuals from other MOSs. I still keep in contact with guys, with troops that I've met from BLC, which I went, back in 2011, maybe. I still keep in contact with all my guys from SLC, ALC, because those are more like MOS specific. But you're going to create bonds. You're going to get their Facebook pages and stuff like that. Have fun. Enjoy your time there. Learn as much as you can. Because when you're done, your unit is expecting you to bring that knowledge back and apply it. All right. So that's it. I'm not going to hold you guys any longer. As always, thank you guys for listening. Go ahead and download. Leave a review. It really helps us out. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, ideas for the show, go ahead and email me at rogersarnt@gmail.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and that's all of them at rogersarnt. And as always, remember, you don't have to embrace the suck if you got the right tools in your ruck. I'm Sarnt Cruz, and I'm out.
Rogersarnt!